some, I think that's partly for you this morning, I guess. And she's graduating. To God be the glory. And I know just like every other child that's graduated from college, they pay their parents all the money back that they help to get them to new college, like every other child.
We're praying for a job.
Let's all stand and sing, "To God be the glory."
Thank the Lord for being able to be here this morning. I've got a blasting headache, but other than that, all's well. I want to do this song this morning. It's not what we do, it's what He's done. He's an awesome God, and I praise Him this morning.
It's not what you do.
It's what he's done.
Message in that song, going to praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he's already done it? We could never do enough. Does anyone have anything on your heart? A song? Anything this morning? God has laid anything on your heart? Amen. Anyone else? Amen.
It's so small, but yet it's overflowing with talent. And I think part of that is because people that can't reach it.
Amen. Amen. We are blessed, aren't we? Thank the Lord for the talent. The Lord wanted to really put a lot of talent in the congregation because he knew there wasn't going to be none behind the pulpit. Amen. I got a good amen right there. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I know we'll be in several places, but I want to read a verse out of Nehemiah chapter 13. And verse 2, and then I want to read a couple of verses out of Joshua chapter 24, and then a couple out of Genesis chapter 12. I'll read these, and I've got the upper hand. I've got some of mine printed out, but I want you to, if you won't find these places, I want to read up. But I preached a message. I don't know how many of you will remember it last week. Does anybody remember what I preached last week? Amen. If I didn't have it wrote down, I probably wouldn't either. I preached when our blessings turn into a curse. When our blessings turn into a curse. And this week, I believe it was probably Sunday evening, Rhonda and I was doing our daily reading and reading through the book of Nehemiah. And then that's one of the earlier times I get a message. And we ran across this verse right here. And I told Rhonda then, I said, I believe that's what I'm going to preach on this next week. And in Nehemiah, if you would stand with me, in Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 2, well, let's start at verse 1. And on that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. And let me stop right there just a minute. Nehemiah had built the walls back, and he was getting some things in order, for worship and things coming back in. And then this day, he does a lot here in chapter 13. But then he talks here that the Ammonites and the Moabites couldn't come in. And then he said in verse 2, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Howbeit, and here's the title of the message, our God turned a curse into a blessing. God turned a curse into a blessing. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 9, then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of their hand. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now this is the promise that God gave Abraham right here. And I like that it says, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. How many in here this morning has ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen? We've heard the gospel, haven't we? Well, we have to say we're blessed. And through the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ came and has made salvation possible, and we've heard it, and whatever we do with it, that's our own. We've got that choice, but we've heard the gospel. Praise the Lord. How blessed we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all your goodness and your mercy and grace. And thank you, Father, that you turn the curse into a blessing. I am so thankful for your word. I'm thankful for your power. I'm thankful for the Son of God. I'm thankful for the church of God. I'm thankful, Lord, that your word tells us that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy. Lord, that's what I'm asking for today, is mercy. Father, will you lead us and guide us and help us and bless this service and have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As all the way through the Bible and as far as before the Bible was ever written, the devil has always tried to turn the curses, the blessings of God into a curse. Every time we look, we see, and we'll get into it deeper, see it in the Garden of Eden. We've seen it here. We see in this passage, we see so many times that he tries to turn God's good blessings into a curse, into something that's contrary to what God intended for it to be. We see here is Balak, the king of Moab, was trying to hire And Greg Laurie called Balaam the prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T. And he was in for the money, and he hired him to curse him. And as hard and as much as he tried to curse the children of Israel, as much as he wanted to, this king had promised him a lot of money and a lot of stuff. And as hard as he tried, God still made him bless them. He could not curse the children of Israel. He could not curse God's blessed people. Boy, aren't you glad for that today? And as hard as he did, he even got on a donkey and tried to go. And the donkey seen the angel standing in the way and crushed his foot against the wall, and he beat that donkey, and then the donkey even talked to him. Boy, if that don't get your attention. And what blows my mind away, he just had a conversation with the donkey. I believe if a donkey talked to me, I'd straighten right up, Harold. I think. And donkey said, hadn't I been faithful to you all these years? Yeah, but you ain't right now. You know, and I thought, whoo. But anyway, he still, through all of this, tried to curse God's people. And God turned it into a blessing. Oh, I'm so thankful for that today. And as I was sitting and I was thinking about this, and I jotted these words down, have you ever noticed any times in your life when God has turned something that should have been a curse into a blessing? Something that most people would say, man, that's awful and that's horrible, but God takes that and turns it right into a blessing, and you become a blessing, and you get blessed through it. Amen. See, that's God. That's what He does. I'm so thankful for that in our lives, and I won't go into it, but there's a couple of things that's really jumped out of my mind, and it's times in my life, and I thought, man, this is just the worst thing could ever been. And then by the time it's over, and God, I see God's blessings and His mercy and grace upon it, and it comes out, and I said, you know what? It's truly a blessing. Wow. God's good, isn't He? I want to look at a few curses that's been turned into a blessing this morning, but I want to look in Genesis chapter 3, the curse in the garden. Genesis chapter 3. And He said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And of course, this is God speaking to Adam and Eve, and after Eve had been beguiled by the serpent and they had sinned, and the Bible says that the Lord come down in the cool of the day. As He came down walking through, he couldn't find them, and He said, Adam. And He said, Lord, we was hid because we was naked. Then God said, here, who told you was naked? Have you eat of the tree that I told you not to? Well, Eve did. And then she made me eat it. Amen. And so we see, and that's where we are here in this story. But as we looked at this, everything was perfect. They were living in a perfect garden, in a perfect world. There was no sin. There was no death. The weather was perfect all the time. I don't even think it was a cloudy day. I believe everything was perfect. They had to roam in the garden, got to eat anything, one little tree that they could not partake of. And could you imagine living in a perfect world? It's a good thing I'm not, because I'd make it imperfect pretty quick. But the devil then tried. He had already tried to overthrow God and couldn't do it. So now he's trying a different approach. He said, I can't get to God. I can't overthrow God. He's too powerful for me. So I'll just manipulate His people, His creation that He created in His own image, in His own likeness, and I will work through them to get to God. I will destroy and I will curse what He has made. And that is what he went on to do, to try to do. And here in the garden, he subtly tempts Eve through the serpent. You know, isn't it amazing how the devil will study people? And what's repulsive to you and turns your stomach, he won't come at you with that. He'll come at you subtly with, he knows what you like. He wouldn't come at me with a plate of liver. It'd be a rack of ribs when he'd come to me, you know, because he knows what I like. And that is how that he moved, and he come upon Eve, and he seen Eve there looking, and he said, you know, I've kind of noticed, you eat all these trees, but you don't eat off that one. That tree's good. It'll make you wise. It's good for food. It's a good tree. God just don't want you to really be blessed, because you'll be a god when you eat of that tree, just like he is. And he made painted such a pretty picture, she tried it. And then we see the curse here. That they curse it, which is death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So we see death here, and this death that came upon them, and the devil said, you'll not surely die. This death comes in three ways. It's a spiritual death, it's a physical death, and it's an eternal death. The sin brings spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death. Spiritual death, they were separated from God. Even the Bible says he drove them out of the garden. I believe that tells me they didn't want to leave. Who would have wanted to? They didn't want to leave, but God drove them out because they could not. God can't have nothing to do with anything that is sinful, that goes against him. So God had to separate sin out of his garden, out of his perfection, and they were separated from God spiritually. And then, also not only spiritual separation, but physical death. They then started dying. Then that's where death come from. For the wages of sin is death. That we die. You know, there's this great statistic, and I've said it before, that over all of us, 10 out of 10 people will die. The odds are not very good in that statistic, are they? But not only. Then comes the physical death, and when we die that physical death, see, the spiritual death is where it steps in then. When we die the physical death, if we are still spiritually separated from God, then comes eternal death. Now that's some great, be totally separated from God forever and ever. Anything that's good, anything that's pleasant, anything that's of life is total separation forever and ever. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So we see here the curse that come upon man because of sin in the garden. This is the curse in the garden, is death. The second curse that we see in here, and it comes out of verse 14 and 15. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We see here the curse between Satan and the human race. That I tell you, we're still in this. Can anybody raise their hand and say, the devil didn't bother me at all this week? I never had any trouble And he did not tempt me. He did not fight me. He did not try to hinder me from praying. He didn't try to hinder me from coming to church. He didn't try to hinder me from studying the Bible. Can anybody raise your hand? We're still in it, aren't we? And we will be. And this is the curse between us and the devil, and we'll have to deal with it all of the days of our life. Boy, I just tell you, I don't get on many rabbit trails, but I'm going to get on one right here. I can't wait till the day that the judgment's passed on that rascal and he's done away with. Amen. And I won't never have to see him again. I won't never have to deal with him again. He won't never do me again. He slicked over me so many times. You can't get tired of it and get mad at somebody when they outsmart you so many times. Amen. He's outsmarted me so many times and stumbled me up. One of these days I'm going to get to see him cast in to the lake of fire, and he'll never, ever tempt me or mess with me again. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? The woman, the curse of the woman then in verse 16. The Bible says that unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desires shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And this is the curse upon a woman, and multiply and her sorrow and the conception, and be subjection to her husband. The curse upon the man in verse 17 through 19. I don't have that printed out, but it... But this is where God tells him that the ground is cursed. And he'll, you ever have to dig thistles and weeds out of your garden and out of your yard? That's because of sin. That's the curse that we're under. And he said that not only that he would have to get his food from the ground by the sweat of his brow. I've told people that I have lived the Bible out fully because everything I've ever got, I dug it out by the sweat of my brow. It didn't come easy. I had to work for it. And then he said, you'll also return to that earth and that ground again. This is some of the curse. There's the curse in the garden. I want to go then to Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, and talk about the curse of the law. Curse of the garden, now the curse of the law. In Galatians 3:10, the Bible says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Can any of us say that we're not under this curse because we've done every one of the laws of God and everything that's written? I doubt we can we? But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Then in James chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend one point, he is guilty of all. We are all born under the law, and we're bound by the law to keep it. Whew. That's a tall order, isn't it? It's the law been given, and man is bound, and what do we do? We've all broke it. Amen? Therefore, we're under the curse of the law. Wow. You thought this was going to be an exciting message, didn't you? Trust me, it gets a lot better. Psalm 14, verse 2 and 3. The Bible says, the Lord looked down from heaven and upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We see commercials so often. We see commercial insurance commercials, and boy, Some of them's way out there, aren't they? But some of them will tell you that you get rewarded for not having accidents. Have you ever heard that? If you have a clean driving record, you don't get any tickets, and you don't have any wrecks, your insurance will be cheaper. To encourage you to be a safe driver and to drive good, and money will encourage you to do things like that. But see, we don't get rewards for obeying the law of God. We don't have a reward day where we come up and we say, just because we obeyed the laws. How many times have you ever been rewarded for keeping driving a speed limit? I've never been pulled over by a police officer and he said, I just wanted to stop you and thank you for obeying the laws. I appreciate that. Here's your award for obeying the law today. Ever happened to anybody? It's never happened. I mean, that's the law. We're bound under it. We're bound under the law. And we won't get rewards for it. But I could not break a speeding limit for 15 years. And one day run the call and say, you better get home quick. Your supper's burning. And man, I get doing 15 mile an hour over the speed limit. Woo! Well, I've kept the law for 15 years. You didn't today. You're guilty. Amen. That's the way it is with the law of God. It is the law. We're bound under it. And when we break it, we're cursed under the curse of it. Somebody has to pay that fine. Somebody's got to pay that ticket. Somebody's got to step up and take care of the problem. Amen. Rhonda would have to write that check and send it in the mail. See, salvation cannot come by keeping the law, by doing good. And I think I read a statistic last week, and it's a thought throughout America today that we believe that being good is good enough to get you to heaven. Being good. If you're relying on being good, you better be real good. Amen. You can't have that one day that you break the speed limit by 15 mile an hour or by 2 mile an hour. God requires perfection. And we're not good enough. See, but I am so thankful this morning that curses can be broken. In Psalm 109, in verse 28, the Bible says, let them curse. This is David talking of his adversary. He said, let them curse, but bless thou. He said, I don't care. They're saying all kinds of stuff about me. They're trying to curse my days, but curse my life. They're going against me. And I don't care what they say as long as you bless me. As long as your blessings is upon me, the whole world and the whole universe can't touch me, can't do nothing with me. Lord, as long as you're blessing me. I told you it's getting ready to get sweet. That it don't matter that Satan, all the evil forces of hell, every part of the universe can come against us, but when we are under the helmet of salvation and under the dispensation of grace of God, that He has saved our souls and we're on the way into heaven, there ain't nothing in this universe that can touch a child of God. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! I don't know about you, but that gets this old boy fired up. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. All the forces of hell can't touch us, Brother Ray. Praise His holy name. Does that get you excited? And y'all don't look excited. I bet they were something a whole lot more excited than that at the ball game the other night. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. The third point is the curse is now overturned. The curse has been overturned. Look at the law. The law, curse of the law has been overturned. Romans 10:4, the Bible said, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Praise His name. When we believe and we trust Him and we ask Him to forgive us of our sins and come into our heart, the curse has been broken. We're no longer under the curse of the law. Praise the Lord. See, the end of the law ends with representative sacrifices. You remember that the priest would have to bring a little lamb in, or in other animals too, but he would bring that lamb in and offer for a sacrifice. It's a representative. It was something that stood in the place of. But then when Jesus died on Mount Calvary, He was the real sacrifice. See, the other sacrifices paid the interest. You ever heard of an interest-only loan? You just paid the interest and kept putting the balance, the principal forward. He didn't just pay the interest. He paid the whole note off. Praise the Lord. Clear deed. I think it's in Revelation chapter 5. Where he said, John said, no man was found worthy to sign the title deed to buy the deed of the world back. He bought it all back. Whew, glory, hallelujah. Praise His name this morning. He didn't just pay the interest, He paid the whole thing off. Wasn't that Jeff Foxworthy who said that the note had a bill late, and they said, "Well, you can send us a check." He said, "Oh, if I can send a check, I'll just pay the whole thing off." I'm glad God paid the whole thing off. Then Matthew 5:17, the Bible said, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." He fulfilled the law. He completed the law. He finished it. What did He say on the cross? "It is finished." I'm not real smart, but I know what the word "finished" means. Amen? And He finished the law. He finished everything that had to be completed for men to go to heaven. God can't deal with sinful men. He will not tolerate sin. He's a holy and just and righteous God. So somebody has to pay that bill. And Jesus done it. I like Romans 10:13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It didn't say might. It didn't say ought to be. It said shall be. This is the saving grace of God. He has so much mercy upon us. I've heard it said that mercy is not getting what you deserve, but grace is getting what you don't deserve. And when we obtain salvation through a Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is amazing grace. That is a saving grace that saves us, and our sins are forgiven and cast as far as the east is from the west and buried in the depths of the sea. The sea of forgetfulness. He buries them as deep as the ocean is, and then He puts up a no fishing sign. Nobody can't never dig them back out of there and hold them against us again. They're done. They're gone. Whew. Praise the Lord. I don't know why the Lord just won't let me go on. Because it's done. I think because I have such a hard time comprehending that. It may just be me, it's catching up there. But as the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. Have you ever heard of an east pole or a west pole? Have you ever heard of North Pole? the South Pole? There ain't no East Pole and West Pole. He didn't say as far as the North is from the South. He said as far as the East is from the West. What's that mean? It goes forever and ever and ever. There is no end. Woo! That means my sins are still going, Brother Todd. They're going on and on and on. I can't never get back to them because he done away with them. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. That ought to get us excited. Boy, I need some help up here. Somebody give me an amen. Amen, the sins are done away. They're gone. Thank God, as the song says, praise God, they're gone. My sins are gone. You know, as excited as I get about saving grace and I'll never give an account for my sins again as far as judgment of going to heaven and hell, God is another thing God's got. Not only does he have saving grace, he's got sustaining grace. That while I'm here in this world, he's going to help me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to help me on Monday mornings. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, of course we know the story, and Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh and he had went to the Lord three times to pray over this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. What he's saying is that those trials we go through, and those temptations that we go through, and those hardships, and those sicknesses, and those problems with relationships, problems with marriages, difficult and financial situations, the difficulties that we go through, everything that we go through in life, he said, my grace is going to be sufficient that it'll help you through it. It'll get so bad that you'll want to throw up your hands and you'll want to quit. But glory, hallelujah, my grace will get you through it. I'll get you over the next hump. I'll get you around the next corner. I'll put the money in the bank. There'll be food on the table. Glory, hallelujah. Praise be to the Lamb of God this morning. Aren't you glad for what he said he'd do for us? And guess what? The Apostle Paul went through a lot. He was beat, run out of town, everything he went through. But glory be to God. History says that the day he died, he ran to the chopping block. He said, woo, glory. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept faith. There's now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know, we give to you in short terms. I've made it through and I'm going home. Woo, glory. I'm going home. God had done what he told me to do. Now he's coming to get me. Woo. I tell you, you know, there's a lot of rejoicing. I think when the Apostle Paul made it through the stroll down the streets of glory, there's a lot of shouting went on. Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to talk about turning the curse into a blessing? Look what he done with the Apostle Paul. He's the biggest curse, the biggest thorn in the church's side. God just made a preacher out of him. That's how you win them, ain't it? Praise the Lord. And he made a right good one out of him. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm about done. Well, I don't want to lie. I think I'm about done. We talked then about the curse of the law. I want to talk about the curse in the garden. Revelation chapter 22. Turn with me there. I want you to see this. I want us to look at this. Revelation 22, starting at verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Did you notice something there? Where life starts from? Out of the throne of God. He's the author of life. He's the giver of life. He is life himself. Praise his name. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. We seen this back in the book of Genesis, but you don't see it again till now. Man has been cut off from it, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now put your seatbelt on. I want you to hear this. I want you to get this. And there shall be no more curse. Well, glory. The curse is now gone. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign for a long time. Forever. And he didn't just say forever. He said forever and ever. I don't know what it is with me. That second ever really gets me. The first one sounds good. Forever. But that second one. Glory. That like puts a stamp on it. Forever and ever. That means my curse is not just gone for 1,000 years. It's not just gone for 1,000,000 years. It's gone forever. Praise the Lord. The curse is gone. All we'll have then is blessings. Glory! When the curse has now been turned into the blessing. When we get the glory, praise his name, the curse is gone. When Joseph was sold into slavery, his brothers was jealous of him, and they sold him into slavery. They were going to kill him, and they threw him in a pit. Anyway, some Ishmaelites come through, and the brothers dug him out and sold him into slavery. And he took him down. He went into Potiphar's house. It's meant for a curse, and God turned it into a blessing. He became second in charge in Potiphar's house. He was in control of everything, not anything that he was not able be in charge of. And Potiphar's wife told a lie on him. We know the story there. They throwed him in prison. In prison, he became, it was a curse. God turned it into a blessing. He became right under the man that was in charge of the whole prison. Then he answered the dream of Pharaoh. What a curse being sold into Egyptian slavery. He came second in charge of all Egypt. In charge of all the food and the handling. In fact, this is probably when Israel got so rich. He owned everything. The people kept buying and buying and buying, and they ran out of money, and then they started giving him the land. Egypt was very wealthy. Then some old boys from up in Israel's kids come to town. And I want to hear you, and we'll go, I could make it a long story, but I won't. But then when he came down, and in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, Joseph, when he finally revealed himself to the brothers, and they were tore all to pieces, but he said, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people life. As much of the hatred that they had for Joseph, and they was wanting to get rid of him, God intervened and sent him to Egypt, and he saved Israel through Joseph. Wow, you're talking about a curse and a blessing. How blessed the nation of Israel was. In Numbers 23 and verse 8, the Bible says that, and this is Balaam talking, how shall I curse? I believe it's the devil talking. I don't think it's just Balaam. I think it's the devil talking. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? How am I going to curse somebody that God has blessed? Ain't going to happen. Can't happen. Never will happen. But right as here, right before I close, I do want to share with you how he can get you. How he can get back to God. Just like he tried with Adam and Eve. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, and this is the churches in the book of Revelation. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast therefore them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, that taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. He couldn't curse God's people, but he could tell them how they could be cursed. Man, I'd hate to stand in front of judgment for that, wouldn't you? See, and it's the devil, his old tricks. He cannot defeat God. He cannot curse God's blessings. But he tries to get us to stumble so that our sins would cause the problem. See, when we sin, we lose fellowship with God. David said in Psalm 50, Lord, restore unto me the joy, maybe 51, the joy of thy salvation. Have you lost your joy of serving the Lord? See, when we get involved in sin and we let the devil creep in, and it don't have to be no big sin. The sin of David and Bathsheba, I think two people died in that sin. The sin when David let pride build up in himself and he numbered the children of Israel when God had not told him not to, 185,000 people lost their life in that one. If I was doing the thinking, I'd say, boy, I thought it had been a whole lot more die with adultery than I would just somebody let a little pride set in their life. Amen? But God, see, everything or nothing goes unnoticed with God. And this morning, you may be here. You may say, preacher, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. Or you may be listening to me. But are you enjoying all the benefits and the blessings that comes with serving the Lord? He didn't say, I came that you just get into heaven by your hair of your head. He said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I came that you may skip and shout as you go through the gates into glory. Victorious. Amen. Are we having victory in our lives? Are we winning more battles than we're losing? Where are you this morning? I want you, in this time of invitation, and I'm not trying to condemn nobody. I've got I had to deal with myself. I want you to take inventory. Sometimes it's good just take inventory. Business that do it once a year. It's good to take inventory. And I'll ask you this morning, take inventory. When we pray, I want you to pray and say, Lord, where am I? Really, where am I with you? And where am I in my walk? And what is it I need to do? What is it I need to take care of? And what can help me to grow closer? What will help me to be more in tune with you and more in tune with the things of the Word of God and more in tune and where I could accomplish the will that you have got for me? Amen. I'm afraid so. We're just happy being saved. Can I get amen right there? We're just happy being saved. We're happy that we're going to heaven, and that's all we're really concerned about when we're missing out on a lot. I heard a little boy, and I think I've said this, shared this, but a little boy went in a candy store. His mama, they was in the store. Well, he's in the store, and there's a big candy jar there. And the clerk told the little boy, he said, get you some of that candy. Get your handful of candy as you go out. Little boy wouldn't. And he told him again, get you some candy, and he wouldn't. And before he left, the store clerk reached in there and got a handful of candy and dumped it in the little boy's hands, and it took both of his hands to hold the candy. As they come out, the mama said, why didn't you reach in there and get it? He said, because I know his hands was a lot bigger than mine. Amen. God's hands is a lot bigger. He's got a lot in store for us. He's got a lot of blessings. Let's let Him dump it in our laps and allow Him to drive the vehicle. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to You again, and Lord, and I'm thankful, God, for Your touch. I'm thankful for this message You laid upon my heart. I'm thankful, Lord, that only You turn curses into blessings. Lord, I'm thankful for the blessings that You have bestowed upon me. And the devil had meant early on to, and still does, to turn a lot of things into curse in my life and get me involved and led astray and into a lot of things. But You intervened. God, I pray now that I ask You, Lord, that You'd help me to finish strong. You'd help me, Lord, that I know You've still got some blessings. I know You've still got things for me. Help me, Lord, to be able to keep on keeping on and not look to the left or to the right and not look down, and but keep my eyes to the sky and keep my eyes on You and keep pushing forward. Lord, that You would show me, and Lord, open my spiritual eyes and speak to me this morning. And Lord, that I pray, God, as we do inventory, help me to see where I'm lacking. Help me to see, Lord, what I need to do, what I need to allow You to do in my life. And Father, that I pray, Lord, it is read there in Nehemiah. Father, when they started reading the Word, that they started seeing things they wasn't doing. They started seeing some things they'd left undone. And Father, that I pray that You'd show us this morning some things that we're leaving undone, the blessings that You have for us, but we've got our eyes on different things. God, I pray that You'd help us today and encourage us. Lift us up. Lord, help us to nail it down today. Father, will you touch and turn these things that we might think's a curse into a blessing. Lord, a lot of us we've got problems in our families. Lord, turn these curses into blessings. Lord, a lot of us, we've got problems at work. Lord, turn these curses into blessings. We see this nation looks like it's under a horrible curse. Lord, turn that into a blessing. Lord, help us and touch us, and God be with us. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.